read a couple of poems for you. And the first one I've chosen to read to you today, on the sole basis that David will believe it's a poem. Which is a big hint. Rhymes and everything. This is Bargain. I got a bargain on this house for something in its past. Something strange had happened to whoever lived here last. I've painted the reception rooms, replaced the kitchen hob. The bathroom's fine, my bedroom's done. The porch is one last job. The paper came away real smooth in long detaching sheets. And under one was neatly written, Derek Loman cheats. I smiled at first to what I read and knelt in close to read a fine print underneath the line that relayed a vicious deed. If you know my Derek, then I'm sorry for your loss. The man's a lying bastard who never gave a toss. I caught him with a prostitute who'd do some things I wouldn't. I threatened to divorce the twat, but money meant I couldn't. I said that we should talk it through and acted sickly sweet. I poisoned his duck à l'orange and started with his feet. I won't go into too much detail the method of the skinning, or stretching out by rolling pin, ironing or cross-stitching. I cut him into strips and stripes to decorate the hall and pasted it as paper here where you've stripped off the wall. I stopped and stared at glyphs of hair and coving made of bone. The mosaic smelled of Colgate Plus that roughly spelled out home. I thought about reporting this, but then I just thought twice. So I painted over the note a few times as I recalled the bargain price. Thank you. Thank you. The next one is a really good example of why I stopped writing short stories and started to write poetry, because it's basically a prose poem, which in short story terms would be really overwritten story. This is called Aphrodite, Perfect. Aphrodite didn't rise out of the sea on a giant clam. It's just a myth a poet used as a metaphor once, and like a barnacle, it stuck. She used it to float around our house, and sometimes she'd be the Aphrodite everyone thinks about. You know, the perfect hair, the perfect body, the perfect face. But that was just how she was when strangers were round. When they'd gone, she'd barely held an expression. The dimples disappeared. Her eyes didn't glisten like the sea. She'd just sit with her chin on her knees and pull herself into her shell. Poor child. She didn't talk much. It was never what people wanted of her. So she didn't bother with it much. She just used to sit in the comfy chair at our house and barely speak a word, but always listening. Always listening. Her eyes would dart like shoals of fish to others when they spoke, and smile when people were happy, grimace or cry when they were sad. But as soon as she stepped out of that door, her smile was filled with perfect pearly teeth, and her hair swayed like underwater seaweed. Outside the shell, she was their idea of perfect. She told me once she wished she wasn't a god, but it was how her parents brought her up and the circles she drifted into as a child. I told her it was up to her to live her own life, not the one expected of her. And after a while, she stopped coming round. We stopped hearing about her down the pub. And people stopped worshipping her, said she'd lose her power. Once in a while, she'd send me a postcard of a tiny island to say she was okay. Perfect, in her own way.